Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to make two announcements. The first is about my own position as leader of the National Party. As most of you will recall, I let it be known before the election last year that if we did not win, I expected to stand down or be asked to do so. In fact, I prepared my election night comments on that assumption. In the event, of course, we didn't win, but we achieved a better result than I think any of the commentators would have expected 6 months prior to the election, and indeed it was the best result the National Party had achieved since the 1990 election. On election day itself, I was urged by my closest advisers not to step down in the interest of the party, and subsequently I was asked to stay on by both the caucus and the wider party. But it's become increasingly clear in recent months that there's a growing speculation that I'll step down well ahead of the next election. That ongoing speculation is damaging to the National Party and to our future prospects. Accordingly, as we approach the end of the parliamentary year, I've decided to resign as leader with effect from a special caucus meeting to be held on Monday morning. I believe the party is in very good heart, with a highly experienced and determined caucus, and an organisation outside Parliament which is in better shape than for many years. Polls vary, but on average they show the National Party ahead of Labour by between 6 and 8%, and the Colmar Brunton poll shows us at 49%, 13% above Labour. For some weeks now, I've been giving consideration to the right time and the right way to announce this decision. I've held off because I've been keen to have two untidy matters dealt with before my departure. The first was the GST error made by the party in the election campaign last year. Although this had nothing to do with me personally, it was a source of embarrassment, and I was very keen indeed to get the matter resolved before my resignation. The National Party board agreed yesterday, as you know, on the best solution we can find, and that's already been announced. The second was the matter of the emails stolen from my computer system. As you all know, there were a number of emails leaked leaked to the Sunday Star Times and other media during the election campaign. We took no formal action on those leaks, accepting that leaks occasionally happen, either intentionally or accidentally. After the election, Winston Peters talked about telephone books of my emails, but offered no proof of that fact. He eventually produced one more email and the attachment in the House. We commissioned a formal investigation to see if we could discover the source of these emails, but found nothing. In recent weeks, Helen Clark and Michael Cullen have both made knowing comments about the imminent publication of my emails and suggested they would implicate me. We've also seen articles in both the New Zealand Herald and the North and South magazine talking about the imminent publication of a book of my emails. In September, we asked the police to investigate what seemed to us at the time, and still seems, to have been criminal activity in accessing my computer system. This police investigation is ongoing. In early November, I decided that the publication of a book of emails to and from me would be totally unfair to the many hundreds of people who correspond with me by email and would potentially hinder my ability to operate as a Member of Parliament and as the leader of the National Party. Such people from all parts of New Zealand and from all walks of life should reasonably expect their email correspondence with me to be private. And so I sought and obtained an interim injunction to prevent a book of these stolen emails being published. I felt, and still feel, there's an important issue of principle here. Great was my surprise when 2 days ago what got caught by the injunction was not a book of my emails, but a scurrilous book by Nikki Hager attacking both the National Party as an institution and me personally. Unlike Helen Clark, Michael Cullen, and I suspect Winston Peters, I had no knowledge that such a book was under preparation. And consequently, Mr. Hager's book was not the target of my injunction. The publication of that book has been stopped by the injunction. I utterly reject Mr. Hager's conspiracy view of the world and recall Helen Clark's remark about Mr. Hager's suggestion that the SIS had infiltrated the Maori Party as a work of fiction. From what little I've learnt about the comments of Mr. Hager's book from media comments, I utterly reject also his latest attempt to discredit the National Party and me. It's simply nonsense to suggest that the National Party was or is under the influence of American neoconservatives or received funding from the Exclusive Brethren or broke election spending rules. The only party to have been found to break the election spending cap was, of course, the Labour Party. But to paraphrase the words of Voltaire, though I utterly reject Mr. Hager's view of the National Party and of me, I defend his right to hold those views and to publicise them. So this is my second announcement. Over the last 24 hours, I've taken legal advice about how the publication of Mr. Hager's book can proceed, while continuing to restrain the ability of other people to use my stolen emails. The court order provides that nobody in possession of my stolen emails can publish them unless I provide them to that person. I'm advised that Mr. Hager can legally proceed with publishing his book if I provide him with copies of those of my emails included in the book. I'm willing to do that. As a result of discussions I've asked my legal counsel to initiate, I anticipate that Mr. Hager will be able to publish his book tomorrow morning. Unfortunately, that will not protect the identity of people who have sent me emails, and on the assumption that Mr. Hager has not obtained their permission to publish their emails, I regard his behaviour as totally reprehensible. It will certainly tend to inhibit the ability of the public to communicate frankly with members of Parliament. The announcement of Mr. Hager's book almost caused me to defer my resignation as leader. I deeply resent the lies and distortions which seem to have been included in his book, and I intend to vigorously contest those allegations. But I can do that just as effectively having stepped down as leader, and that I will do with effect from the special caucus meeting on Monday. Over the last 3 years, it's been a great honour to be the 10th leader of the National Party, and I take a great deal of satisfaction at the progress we've made over that time. I want to thank all those who've helped me, the President and Board of the Party, the thousands of volunteers all over the country, my parliamentary colleagues, most of whom have been unswervingly loyal to both the party and to me, and my staff. in that regard, and at the risk of failing to mention a whole host of others, including media staff, communication staff, research staff, IT staff and others, I should make special mention of my Chief of Staff, Richard Long, prior to the election, and Wayne Ewelson since the election, my special assistant over the 2 years prior to the election, Brian Sinclair, the campaign director, Stephen Joyce, the man who masterminded our billboards and advertising, John Ansell, my two senior press secretaries, Jason Ead and Kevin Taylor, those who helped me write parliamentary questions, Phil DeJoux and Sarah Boyle, and of course my loyal secretary, Anne Small. And of course a special thanks to my wife, Jalan, and family, who put up with a huge amount since I entered politics more than 4 years ago, and supported me loyally through it all. There is still an enormous amount to achieve if we're to give New Zealand the future which our children and grandchildren deserve. And I look forward to wishing the next leader, whomever he or she may be, every success. I have no doubt that after the next election, New Zealand will have the national-led government we need and deserve. It is, of course, quite possible that I will play some part in that government. That's a matter to be resolved in due course between the next leader of the National Party, my wife and family, and me. Thank you very much. I've been thinking about the decision for several weeks, so it wasn't an easy decision to take, but in the end it was quite clearly the right decision. Pardon? Oh, that's a question for the caucus to decide. No, I'm not going to express that here.
Are you going to resign from Parliament when you're standing down?
Well, I say in the last paragraph that the question of whether I have an ongoing role in the caucus is a question for the leader, the next leader, my family, and for me to resolve.
So you're willing to stay on as an MP?
Pardon?
You're willing to stay on as an MP?
As I say, that's a question to be resolved. So I don't think that can be crossed.
If the report wasn't the reason for your resignation, then why have you decided?
Well, I think I made that fairly clear, that there's been ongoing speculation now going back for several months that a question of a change of leadership was a question of when, not if, and I think that's become very destabilising to the party.
How much responsibility do you take for that?
Well, I can't absolve myself of all responsibility, clearly, but I think it's one of those things that happens in politics. I had indicated prior to the election, as I indicated, that I would step down if we didn't win. And I think since that time there's been ongoing speculation about whether I would in fact contest the next election.
What regrets do you have, Dr. Grenshaw, please?
Well, I have regrets, obviously, that I'm not leading the party for the next election.
Have you been encouraged to fall on your sword because this book is going to be so damaging to the party that this will affect the future?
Well, of course, I haven't seen the book, but what I've heard about it convinces me that there's an absolute garbage in it. And I mentioned three issues particularly in my comments. That the National Party is beholden or in some way in links, in cahoots with the neoconservatives in the United States is just absolute crap. That we've got funding from the Exclusive Brethren is absolute crap. That we broke election spending rules is absolute crap. I mean, it may be there's some element of truth in the book.
Is it correct that you misled the public over what you knew about those people?
I don't think so, no.
Dr. Brosh, you say that you advised about this decision for several weeks. What was it that you're thinking about? What was the catalyst that started you
this time ago? Ooh, it might have been an editorial in the
Dominion Post. That was last week.
No, I did a number of things that made me think in this direction for a while.
So when did it come to a head? Was it this morning, last night?
Sorry?
When did it come to a head?
No, I mean, I think the President would be happy to confirm that I had been thinking about this for several weeks. And I certainly was thinking about it as I flew to and from London earlier in the month.
Dr. Brash, is politics more of a bruising arena than you thought it was before you came into it?
And politics it's always been a bruising arena. I found it enormously satisfying, and I think we have been able to achieve a great deal, both for the National Party and indeed for the country as a whole. I think my regret was asked earlier, what is the thing I most regret? I think there are still some really pressing needs in New Zealand that need to be dealt with if New Zealand's have the kind of future which we want.
It's taken not an inconsiderable toll on your personal life, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. That's true.
Dr.
Dr. Brash, is it the plan that the next leader will be elected at special caucus on Monday?
Yes, it is.
Is the deputy leadership also in contention at that meeting?
Well, typically I think when a leader steps down, the position of both leader and deputy are open. It's a question for the caucus to decide that. And I suspect if you asked any one of the leadership aspirants, they're likely to say that's a question for the caucus.
Well, could we ask what you're asking?
No, it's Dr. Brash's
there. Would you take that injunction that you need to be back in hindsight and think it was the right decision?
Look, it's been suggested that I took this sort of having got up in the morning and sort of had a sudden rush of blood to the head and decided to take out an injunction. It was not the way it was at all. I discussed it with two or three of my key advisors and, of course, with legal counsel, and the judgment was that this was the best way of dealing with what we thought was a book of emails. We were not aiming at Nikki Harker's book. We didn't know about Nikki Harker's book.
Did your advisors say to you, don't take the injunction?
None of the people I discussed it with said, don't take the injunction.
Dr. Brash, have any of your MPs come to you which saying they've got the numbers?
Sorry?
Have any of your MPs come to you saying we've got the numbers?
No.
So this isn't a state complaint. You haven't been told that there is a contender who wants to move against you?
No. What I'm saying is that I am stepping down. I'm not putting my leadership on the line. I'm not saying vote for me or I'm out. I'm saying I have resigned, or I will resign as of Monday from the leadership, find another leader.
Have you spoken to John Key?
I've spoken to all the front bench personally and told them directly in the last hour.
Do you think you can see yourself back into the original role that you wanted to come here as a finance minister?
Well, that's up to the new leader.
No, but you must have a personal preference.
Look, there are a number of... If the new leader offers me the chance to be Deputy Associate Spokesman for Consumer Affairs, I will decline the offer. But there are a number of senior portfolios which I'd gladly work in.
Do you see yourself able, I've seen Bill English take that role, but do you see yourself able to work on productively under a different leader in a new role, in a more supportive role?
Absolutely. I came into Parliament, as you know, not to be leader, but to be the finance spokesman.
So you don't want to lose politics?
I want to achieve what New Zealand can achieve.
So you will stay if you get off of the senior...
If I get a senior portfolio, which is something where I can make a contribution, and that's an important qualification, then I'd be inclined to stay. But it is a question for another day.
When I asked you yesterday if your staff ever warned you about your meetings with the Brethren, and you said, no, I don't believe so, was that the truth?
Well, the truth, as I recall it, I don't remember being warned about meetings with the Brethren, to be frank.
Senior staff, PR advice?
Well, I mean, I saw Richard Long on that other channel last night, and he made a comment which I thought was absolutely valid, that leaders of political parties, major political parties particularly, get literally hundreds and hundreds of pieces of information every day. Some cases advice, some cases emails, some cases letters. I can't swear that someone didn't say to me at some stage, look, do you think you're wise to meet with the Exquisite Brethren? But I don't remember that at all.
Are you happy with your performance as leader over the last 3 years?
I feel broadly happy with that, yes. I mean, always things that one would have done differently in hindsight. I mean, I probably wouldn't have walked a plank. I would have wanted to do a press conference with a copy of the email in front of me. Always things I would have done differently. But overall, I think we have a very strong caucus. We're a very experienced caucus. We have a party polling ahead of the government consistently, except for one of the TV channels' polls. And that feels good.
What was the response in the front benches when you told them today?
Surprise. I don't think anyone was expecting me to step down today. I think most cases, genuine disappointment.
Did any of them ask you to stay?
Some did, yes.
Did any approach you with concerns about your leadership recently, including the decision about the injunction?
No.
Dr. Brash, can you just confirm or clarify whether it was the threat of the emails coming out that was served as a tipping point for you?
No, it was not. I was very disappointed, in fact, that book came out when it did, because it made it look as if I was in some way responding to that book. I regard the book as a scurrilous piece of journalism which has no bearing at all on my decision to stand down. Indeed, my temptation was to can the decision to step down today precisely for that reason. I thought, let's... Well, there's no perfect time.
Could you tell us then, perhaps, what was the tipping point?
I don't think I can point to one single tipping point, but I think by the time you've read John Armstrong, Vernon Small, Dominion Post editorials, front page of the Herald, etc., you begin to conclude that the media have decided that it's only a question of whether he goes on the first caucus in February or the first caucus in March or whatever. And that's very damaging to the National Party. I want the National Party to win.
Are you putting this down to the media?
No, I don't want to blame the media. I think most of you are very nice people.
So you're not tracing this back to allegations regarding your personal life? Right?
Sorry?
You're not tracing this back to allegations regarding
your personal life? No, I'm not.
What about allegations that have come out in the book when it was published concerning whether you've been completely honest about when you met with the exclusive brethren, whether you received emails from them?
I look forward to that chapter in the book, I have to say, because I did not know that I'd ever been sent an email by the exclusive brethren until about 2 or 3 months ago. Let me just finish that, because I responded to the same question from TV3 yesterday morning. I had no awareness of ever being sent an email from the exclusive brethren until about 2 or 3 months ago. My press secretary, Jason Ead, showed me a hard copy of an email sent to me at national.org.nz in August 2005. I never saw that email until the hard copy a few months back. I never sent the exclusive brethren... I never sent someone knowing they were exclusive brethren. I can't preclude the possibility that one of the people I wrote to might have been exclusive brethren, but I'm not aware of any email I ever sent to the exclusive brethren.
You're still publicly claiming yesterday that you only met the exclusive brethren in August.
No. I was not. I said yesterday, in response to questions, I think from TV3, that I learnt about their pamphlet campaign in August.
Does that mean you didn't know about the pamphlet campaign about Wake Up New Zealand Defence?
I recall hearing the advertisement which they were running on the defence thing, and frankly,
that was exclusive brethren.
Yes, I was. That was an advertisement they ran months earlier. That was an advertisement which basically said you should invest a lot more on defence, about 5% of GDP, I think, was where their suggestion. And I regard that as absurd.
My understanding of the allegations in the book is that you were fully aware of pamphleting campaigns and plans.
I'm denying that.
At the time that advertisement was on that stock pressure, did you know that it was an exclusive advertisement? Are you saying that you became...
Yes, I did. No, I knew that.
Well, how did you know?
And they told me.
So they told you we're running an ad?
Yeah.
On the defence?
On the defence issue.
So why didn't they tell you later?
So in May you didn't know the
pamphlet? I'm sorry?
Why did they not tell you till August? They were planning $1 million campaign?
Ask them that question. I've answered every question on the exclusive brethren to the best of my knowledge and understanding.
But have you answered them truthfully? I mean, this does mean the question that perhaps the reason you're resigning today is going to be quite apparent.
Well, I don't accept that at all. I won't preclude the possibility I made a mistake, but I absolutely reject the possibility that I deliberately misled.
You said yesterday you didn't know any neocons.
Let me just dwell on that issue. I've been to Washington twice in the last 3 years as leader. I did.
Is he a neocon?
I have no idea.
You don't know if Dick Armitage is a neocon?
No. I suspect he's not, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
I
think
he's had a figure.
Excuse me, Dr. Dash. Yeah. Are you able to tell us which of your front bench members asked you to stay on?
No, I won't. That's not appropriate at all. No, a number of them did.
Were you advised by any of your MPs to resign? Did they agree to it as the right decision to take?
I don't think I've been asked by any MP or suggested by any MP to resign. No.
Can you clarify the situation with Nicky Harker? I mean, does that...
So sorry?
Has he agreed to your initial... I understand he didn't agree to your initial proposition.
My understanding is that, as of just a few minutes ago, before I came to the room, he was... well disposed towards that suggestion.
Dr. Brash, are you going to sort out the emails and physically give them to him, or are you saying you're giving him permission to have those emails?
That's for the lawyers to sort out exactly how that's done.
Have you got copies of those emails and have you read them? Do you know?
Well, I don't know yet because I haven't got the book.
So have you gone back through it? How are you going to be able to give them?
Well, I have a pretty substantial email archive. but I haven't got the book, so I can't be absolutely certain of every single one he's got.
But it's fair to say that you have some of the emails in this book won't be a surprise to you. You've gone through in the last few days or weeks.
No, I haven't, Frank. I've got no idea. I mean, I suppose I've got 10,000 emails in my archives. There's no way I'm going to go through that until I find out who they're from and who they're to, etc.
So we're going to hand over.
You've done well, you've done.
Okay.
After caucus.
Sorry?
We're
at the caucus meeting on Monday. That's a question for the lawyers to sort out.
So what will happen today?
Well, we're aiming to make sure the book can be available as of tomorrow morning.
Dr. Brady, can you just confirm then that this press conference was going to happen today, even if this book didn't exist? You would already
That's correct.
Have this announcement today.
That's correct. Yeah, I thought about that. I was, as you know, 14 years governor of the Reserve Bank, and New Zealand, of course, has a floating exchange rate, so the issue never arose for me. But every central bank governor I've ever met says the one thing that central bank governors are supposed to be less than fully honest about is their intention to devalue. The central bank governor said, look, I'm thinking of devaluing next month. They would be triggering an extremely irresponsible foreign exchange crisis. I think for me to say, yep, I'm thinking of resigning in a month's time, would be very destabilising.
Will you be available for questions after the book comes out?
I'm hoping, frankly, to do a major rebuttal on the accusations in that book. I suspect I'll be looking for every possible media opportunity to do that.
How difficult was it for you at the leader at the time when the allegations are in the field and Diane Foreman came
out? Not helpful at all.
And what about your marriage now?
I don't want to comment on that. I've said repeatedly I'm not talking about my private life.
When do you think you may get to see a copy of the book?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm hoping to get it as soon as I can, but I haven't seen it yet. And my decision about releasing it does not depend on the contents.
That's
on the TV3 one. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Just with the benefit of hindsight, as you look over your leadership of the National Party, are there any errors or mistakes or misjudgments that you're kicking yourself for in hindsight?
I'm through this in my autobiography. Thank you very much. Okay.
Get the judgment.